You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guests are Andrew Foss and Laura Walker, who are returning to the show and who many know as the creators of the Daily Oracle Report. When Andrew discovered Laura Walker's Oracle Report from Gene Haynes' excellent blog, he asked Laura if it could be shared on Facebook. It was spun off into its own group due to popularity, and to the amazement of both, reached 1,000 members. Today, they are at the 8,700 mark and rising. Andrew works extensively with Laura on website design and development and manages the Facebook group. The monthly new moon phone calls began, and 2015 brought the community called the Parliament of the Wise Owls. Laura uses the Sabian symbols of astrology and has two ebooks that are free to download on her site. The Astrology of the Black Moon and Eris, Archetype of Shadows, Crisis and Awakening. Laura's work at the Oracle at OracleReport.com focuses on forwarding the spiritual renaissance that is underway while monitoring and analyzing the collapsing control paradigm's attempts to maintain dominance over humanity using astrologically timed rituals. Her work includes the study of the ancient Gnostic teachings. You can find them both at www.oraclereport.com or on Facebook. So let's welcome them both back to the show now. Hi, Andrew and Laura. How are you?
Doing wonderfully, Lance. Nice. Thank you for the introduction, and we'll update that. We're at 9,200 members now.
Wonderful. Wow. I just love to hear that.
as we always see it, it's amazing to see it continue to grow.
Yes. Well, I try to post it every day on my newsfeed because of everything that gets posted, it's the one consistent thing that I really enjoy and feel like it empowers me, and it also aligns with my day. So I think it's a great way to start the day. So, well, we're going to talk about a few things. We haven't rehearsed anything. We have, you know, no script. So I'm going to just ask you, you know, where would you like to, what would you like to talk about or start out with? Because I know we'll go all over the place, but where would you like to begin?
Well, Lance, thank you so much. It's so nice to be back with you again.
It's nice to hear your voice.
Thank you for the kind words about the Oracle Report. I think that the thing that people tell me the most is that it helps them to anchor a lot of the things they're feeling and understanding that it's beyond them. There are energetics in play that are affecting everybody, and it makes them feel less alone. Mm-hmm. And I often hear, like, I know I'm not going crazy, so either we're going crazy in the same way.
Yep, absolutely.
That's really the purpose of it. And, yeah, Second Renaissance, that's what I talk a lot about. I've been writing the Oracle Report for 7 years now. I've been waiting on this Renaissance for a while, and I think we're there.
Wow. Well, at least after the presidential flip-flops fall into place, or, you know, roll down the hill and play Humpty Dumpty or something.
Yes, well, you know, it is the main topic, isn't it? But I have been talking about what's happening in the world and the rise of liberty, the return of wisdom, in a bigger way and much beyond the election, because in a lot of ways we do get focused on certain benchmarks. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is far greater than the election in the United States.
Absolutely.
So what I've been talking about is thinking about how we are building the new world as the old one crumbles. We aren't waiting around and watching and watching everything dissolve, crumble, unravel. Mm-hmm. We're moving forward and basically returning back to basics, to a simpler, more way of life that's more aligned with nature and with goodness. Mm-hmm. And so while it is the big issue, it isn't going to determine, it's not going to be the determinant of anything in anyone's future. And so I personally have been trying to defuse a lot of the energy around the election. There's so much divide and conquer within it, and really there are so many big things happening that we have to look at the bigger picture at the same time and not lose hope, because people are, I think, very jaded. A friend of mine was mentioning people feel burned. They feel burned by politics, by politicians, and, are becoming a little desensitized to it all. And we have, 52, 53 days until the election, and people are burned out already.
Mm-hmm. I think they might have been burned out a long time ago, at least some. And you could throw in there the world's religions, corporations, mass marketing, mind control, and just the status quo that seems to be ever slipping down into some kind of debased reality that is killing us, literally.
You know, I think that with this election, and I bring it up, as you're saying, you kind of diffuse it. Probably the most important thing I'm seeing, it's kind of a second renaissance kind of issue itself. You take a look at everything happening, and all of the lies that are being told are so bold-faced, and I don't think anybody believes them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Hillary Clinton opens her mouth, and it's like, oh, what funny thing is she going to say next?
Right.
Donald Trump opens his mouth. What outrageous thing is he going to see? There is no seriousness in this election whatsoever, and I think that everybody is finally seeing it.
Yeah. And the duality of it is what most people don't get, is that it's mired in an old paradigm that has been used for thousands and hundreds of thousands of years, most likely, to divide and conquer, because that's the whole purpose of maintaining a duality. You know, it's either black or it's white. Is it good or is it bad? And so that kind of thinking is so shallow and so formatory that even people that don't know about other alternatives, like multidimensional thinking, are beginning to see that we're being manipulated by marketing forces and the rest of it into thinking in terms of one or the other. And life is not like that.
Life is not like that. And the push to make life like that is an archontic agenda.
Uh-huh.
And so, interestingly, we had the full moon, and this weekend, as we're recording now, as we're talking, with an eclipse, and the eclipse and the new full moon happened at the Sabian symbol of the purging of the priesthood. Mm. Now, the Sabian symbols are, for anyone that doesn't know, they are energetic frequencies that describe each of the 360 degrees of the zodiac. Beyond that, they are the codes of life. These are the tablets of where the planets are located. It's very valuable, and this is why in the Sumerian and in the work of Sitchin, he describes a lot of the tablets and how valuable they were to the different factions within the Anunnaki. So it's real. It's a science. It isn't woo-woo. It's a science we don't understand yet, but it is a science, and the data's there, and the Sabian symbols of astrology show it. And so when we know that, and we've seen it proven over and over again, eons of time, people have studied it, we see that this eclipse period, which is a six-month period, will be dominant with the energetic of what it would be called the purging of the priesthood. This energetic has been one that the Illuminati have been using, since I have been tracking their movements many years, and now, all of that is coming to light. And over the next 6 months, many things about the priesthood, and this shouldn't be thought of as Catholic necessarily, this is the priesthood of the New World Order. This is any sort of priesthood mm-hmm. that is out of alignment and needs a purge. So this is the predominant energetic that will be in place for the next 6 months. It'll play out in the macrocosm of the world and bringing more and more things to light and rectifying. And then in our individual lives, it's about releasing what is holding us back that is significant. It isn't habits or behaviors. It's long-standing pain, wounding, and traumas that have been inflicted on us and that we have various ideas about that hold us back from being empowered and not being in the mindset of looking at things black and white, because, as I said, that's an archonic induced sort of thinking. It's very borderline, and archonic interference takes people to the borderlines. And that's why we're seeing so people getting acting so strangely and doing such strange things, criminal things that are just so, so bizarre. And then individually, people just in their relationships coming to a place where serious mental illness is really emerging and affecting the collective. And so while we see it, this purging, as we're going to see, you know, even more purging, that ripples out and people don't really know how to handle it, especially people who aren't awake or, you know, are very unaware of things that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have a question on that. You're saying,
oh, go ahead.
You're saying about how it's a time of purging and purging kind of things that are just unnecessary. Do you know or can you think of any, you know, kind of modalities on how you can go about doing this, or is it something that's just kind of naturally happening to us during this time? I think that
well,
when people put their thoughts to it, they can do more.
Yeah.
Yes, purging, well, it's interesting. Well, the purging we'll see, you know, from the within the Illuminati and within the New World Order, that's already started. That's just going to continue to unravel. I'm sorry, Andrew?
What a great image that brings up.
and so, personally for people, it, you know, practical application, the most practical thing to do is sit with it, is not react. And so when something is happening and your wounding is being triggered, as it is now, Jupiter and Chiron are in opposite, are opposite. Too
opposition
late
again.
For me. There is, you know, they have been in opposition. And so that's just an expansion of great wounding, especially from the inner child, you know, early childhood. And people are seeing that in different ways. One of the things that I talk about a lot with my clients when I do readings is looking at the things that have happened in their lives and understanding them when it's astrologically shown that there was third-party intervention in certain things, when there was an unseen force that I would term the Archons, interfering, interacting in that person's life in ways that they didn't understand. And so we all tend to blame ourselves, not understanding that there's an unseen force that would seek to derail us.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so what we to overcome that, to integrate that issue, the hardest thing to do, but the most effective thing to do, is to sit with the pain, is to integrate it and not have to project it. Because that's what the Archons want. They want everyone to project out all of the craziness that they induced. And so that means people they act ugly to each other and do all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And destroy love and destroy will and hopes and dreams. And so when we can learn to sit with and look at from another perspective our pain and not place it somewhere else, quickly we learn that we are much more powerful than we thought. I know that's probably a counterintuitive kind of practical application, but it is the most effective, I believe.
Well, there is another thing that you can do to be more active, and I agree with you about that, about not reacting and remaining in a kind of divine neutral state. But also, rather than focusing on what's outside of us, we can be proactive about looking within and observing our own shadow, doing the inner work, and finding those areas of our own lives that need to be pared away or pruned. And that's the same process, basically, that's going on outside. So it's very practical to do the inner work. And, you know, the many people have gone through the dark night of the soul many times, myself included. And so there's always stuff that we can look at within ourselves to, you know, be truthful, completely truthful, and because there is no such thing as a half-truth. And when you start looking within, you see how many ways we lie to ourselves. You know, it's not a comfortable process, but it's a very practical way of dealing with what's going on outside, because what we change within also changes the reflection outside of ourselves.
And I believe that it is the most powerful way to affect change, because what we do for ourselves, we do for all of us.
Right.
You know, I think we have a lot of things wrong. I think that the way we have been led to believe about things has been misguided. And what I mean by that in a specific way is exactly what you were just saying, Lance, about the dark night of the soul and having multiple dark nights.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we can sometimes misunderstand that the pain isn't necessarily ours. We
right.
feel it, and so, right. so we personalize it.
That's right.
But truly, what we are doing is healing the planet, and we are healing the pain of the planet, of Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one thing that I have not really had a chance to discuss at length, even though I have discussed many times for many years the subject of the archons, is what they really are.
Okay.
What they are the manifestation of the shadow side of the planet, of Gaia Sophia. They are her. And so my clients and my readers, and I think anyone aware of it in general, we have a tendency to put the archons in the other category. It's part of the other. And this
right.
I talk about with my Black Moon work, with the work with the shadow side, about integrating. And so everybody feels like we have to fight, you know, reject. But each of us has taken on the mission to, at some level, transmute the shadow side of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
The shadow side of the planet, of the manifestation of the archons, is evident through the New World Order. They are the minions of the archons. Beyond that, they are fear. They are blind and very they're very afraid. The archons are very afraid, and there has been a lot of breaking ranks within that legion of archons, and they are not as strong as they were. Because as consciousness has been rising over the last year and a half, things have changed. So when I talk to people and we continue to have dark nights of the soul, it is natural for us to think that it is our dark night. But is it? Is it a shared dark night? Are we not taking on, and as I said, transmuting some of the trauma of Sophia and her fall out of the galactic center, and the consequence of her hitting matter and then her shadow side coming off, popping, you know, splitting off as a schism, becoming the archon.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. We do tend to take it all on ourselves because we've been told that we are bad.
Right. Right.
We should be ashamed.
Right. And then,
but I suggest,
yeah, the church reinforces that.
Yes.
With eternal guilt and damnation. But yes. Tell me what you think, because I really like the way you think.
I think that human beings are beautiful.
Yes.
I think
yes.
their essence is creative.
Yep.
And I think that we are only multifaceted by the daily astrological bombardment of a solar system of planets, because this was never the intention. You know, when somebody is having a very difficult time in their life, that is most likely because they have compounded multiple astrological transits, because you can have a couple and you're doing okay. But when you get multiple transits happening at one time, that's when people start to overload, and it makes them vulnerable, because, again, we will feed into that idea that our pain is our own. We caused it. It's all our fault. We're bad. We have to suffer. I suggest that we are alleviating suffering. The suffering is of a power greater than us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that. That makes sense to me.
Well, it's taking Gnosticism in a different direction, for sure.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, a lot of the stuff that we take or hold as sacred and set in stone is really as transitory as the daily newspaper.
Yes, yes.
The daily newspaper, I haven't read one in years.
I haven't either.
Well, and then you get in the idea of karma, right?
Oh, yeah. All right. There you go. Yeah.
And then let's go and investigate all of our past lives of everything else we did wrong, too, because, you know, it was all on us. We fail to forget there's third-party intervention here, and especially if you're here to spread light, dissolve shadow, that comes with a little bit of a little bit extra on the side.
Right.
There's cause and effect. I mean, that's the law of the universe. But the suffering, the having to pay, you know, lifetime after lifetime, it really doesn't make sense, and I believe it's a program that's been enacted upon us.
I agree with you. And that has a lot to do with the human farming operation that's going on here to harvest energies.
Yes, indeed. That is the name of the game, and mm-hmm. it's more intensive now because the archons are losing energy. The reason for that is the level of light is particularly and directly related to the sun. And so we find ourselves now at this stage with technology and a supernatural presence able to interface artificial intelligence being archonic interface, AI, another term.
Mm-hmm.
The control is much, and the effects are much deeper than we realize. And even for those of us that are aware of all of that, I don't really know how to get my head around the full picture of the AI, because it's, first of all, it exists within multiple dimensions.
Exactly.
And I feel like people get overwhelmed with the topic of it, because, like, what are we going to do about that? You know,
right.
How are we going to do that? Well, I'm here to say with that isn't really for us to take care of. That'll be taken care of by the sun. The sun will be what takes care of the AI, but it won't happen in a way that causes system collapse for the planet, for civilization. It will be taken care of. One solar flare, it's done.
Right. Right. And my friend Timothy Glenn says he's involved with the Proterian Collective, and he has been saying for quite a long time that the artificial intelligence that you and I are talking about now is intergalactic, nine-dimensional, and it encompasses parallel realities. So that covers a huge area, basically, everything that we think about. And, you know, people in the New Age are talking about, oh, we're going to 4D. Well, if it is truly 9D, been all of the dimensions, the, at least the artificial dimensions, that have been overlaid over reality, which may not have any dimensions at all, but various levels of energy that, you know, are not necessarily labeled. That would mean that the Arcturians are in it, the Pleiadians are in it, and the third dimensional Pleiadians are just as mired in duality as we are. The seventh dimensional, you know, they have a different reality, but it is all still part of a control system. So I agree with you. We don't have to look at that because we are the space in between that matter. We are actually everything that isn't and is. That's how I see it anyway.
Yes, and it goes back to what you were speaking about with the inner life, the inner world, because that's the interdimensional world. And so when I talk about Second Renaissance and how we really move forward, you know, the dissolution of the New World Order, that comes personally and through everybody through a reconnection with the heart and the will to express and be individual. And so when those are the things, that's the multidimensional world that goes beyond the AI. As far as the dimensions go, my instruction on this is that we were in 3D up until 2012 or the late 2011, depending on which calendar you want to calculate by. From 2012 until 2015, April 2015, was a fourth dimensional consciousness. And that's the archetypal realm, and that's the realm where the archons have exert the most power. April 2015, we entered 5D. And so the energetics of 5D collapse the archontic vibration. And this is why everything is falling apart, the New World Order, because it's basically like it's just choking out. It's suffocating, if you will. But it's not a bad thing, because the archons are just returning to source, returning to Sophia. And so this is a beautiful thing that is happening. And of course, it looks so evil, and there's all of this, you know, there's so many headlines about all these strange things happening. The reason for that is because the archons have reached their limit, and they're becoming even more demented and insane. And so the thing that enables us to lift, rise above it, transcend all of it, is that reconnection. And that connection, interdimensional spiritual connection, comes from the heart in connection with the will. This is what we have lost, is our will. We've become apathetic to elections and politics and law and education and everything. Okay, let's rebuild it now. What's your ideas? What do you want to do? Let's do it. There's nothing to stop us now. We don't have anything else to lose.
Right. Right. Well, that's a really good point.
Everybody's individuality and uniqueness is needed. And, you know, because people say, you know, I don't know what to do. What do I do to you know, make the world better? Well, find your inner child. Remember what you loved to do. And start
right
from there.
This,
right. Not hard.
Right.
I think on this subject, it kind of comes back to what's going on with the election, because I think that the entire governmental structure right now has been totally designed to fight that whole idea of the individual. And it's at a time where we're bursting out and trying to take advantage of our own sovereignty. And if anything that this election is showing is that people's sovereignty and what's going to win right now is that people are going to take back, hey, you know, I'm a human being and I've got a right, and you don't get to decide it for me.
Yes, and this is all going to start happening more rapidly. As we move into the end of this year And the winter, or January, February, March of 2017, will be the Rocky Road of the Magic Carpet Ride this year. That's the Sabian symbol for this year that describes the predominant energetics. So the next year that begins, the next astrological year that begins March 27th, 2017, is a woman's hat with streamers blown by the east wind. So that's mind-blowing. And we need to be ready for that. And now is the time to be ready for that. And the number one way that you can be ready for that is to ground yourself. That means to stop running. That means to settle in and to begin to create that, if you haven't already, the space around you needs to be as peaceful as possible and as drama-free as possible. Sorry there, I cut out. Drama-free as possible. So grounding, all the grounding techniques, going outside, sitting under a tree, watching birds, but other things that for yourself that ground you, if you play an instrument, the simple things are the things that we have the hardest time doing, drinking enough water, taking nutrients, you know, supplements, things like this. This is what happens when the archonic agenda is breaking, you know, breaking us down, it's wearing us down, and then the astrology, whatever personal astrology we're having, happens, and we get off track. And so now is the time that we have to get on track, and we have to hold the line, come together, and keep ourselves together, because the polarities of the mind, the dualities of the mind, are trying to resolve. This creates a lot of stress on the body, and this is why so many people are having such severe health problems. It isn't just the degradation of the food and the air and, gosh, everything on the planet.
Right.
It's just the pollution, you know. It is,
right.
There's electromagnetics even. There's a lot more happening. When the emotional part comes in, then people's bodies start degrading, and they get sick. The immune system, you know, we suffer from that. And so now we need to do what we know we need to do. This really is the time now. Grounding is the thing that will keep the psyche together. If there's something that has, if there's some belief that you have about yourself that you know is not the right belief and it does not serve you, it's not a healthy belief for you, now is the time to take steps to put that in the past. And this eclipse is designed for that, because we don't need baggage as we go into the year of the mind-blowing year of 2017.
Well, especially, you know, insecurities and self-doubt and self-hatred and why am I here and what am I doing and why am I such a flop? You know, we can change a lot if we don't reinforce those belief systems, which we inherit from people around us, and then accept as who we are. And, you know, just when you find yourself saying something that's negative about yourself, just know that's not mine. It belongs to, that was the Archons. Give it to them. You know, it's on the other side of the sidewalk.
And yes, that is where it belongs, the responsibility. We all have personal responsibility, but the serious imbalance is due to them. And again, what are they? Shadow. Okay, we're returning that to source. It isn't anything scary. Nobody has to be scared of the word or scared of them. It's just fear. And what do? We don't let it stop us.
And the idea is to stop them, at least inside of you, from throwing extra wood on the fire. That's
right.
What they do. They are there to just stoke up all those feelings inside of you and push them further.
Yeah.
You know, what people need to learn to do is to be able to shut that off. And, you know, once you can do that, it's a wonderful thing. But it's something that takes practice and constant practice.
Yep.
Well, and it's also something that's relative to whatever is going on astrologically for somebody, too. You know, like I said, if you have a lot of transits that are going on that are creating a lot of havoc or stress in your life, it's a lot harder to do all these things, and it's a lot easier to become depressed or hopeless or sad, and forget it, you know, and thinking it's our fault, and then we get in the loop of I'm a bad person, you know, and the self-blame and the shame and all of that kicks in, and then we never get back to what we were supposed to do here as human beings,
mm-hmm.
which is be who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been talking about this a lot with people. It's about preparing, you know, having preparedness for, you know, if there's a supply disruption. I don't see any kind of civilization collapse by any means. But you have things that you don't want to be able to not have. If you need them, get them. But truly, the most important thing, the best thing that we can do is to look at the beliefs we have about ourselves, put them where they need to be, and look at them, and if they are accurate, and take responsibility to change what we can. But understand, this is not all our fault.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then don't buy into the false reality that is is really all old paradigm, you know, that we look around and see things that reflect back to us, you know, the churches and the politics and corporations and this and that and the other thing, and people who go down the conspiracy rabbit hole are really get a whammy, but, you know, none of that stuff is real. So, all of their realities that, you know, anything that you can imagine is a reality because they're infinite parallel realities. So if you have a choice, it seems like it would be wise to focus on the reality that you would choose and not on someone else's creation that's designed to ensnare and lower your vibration.
Yes. And, you know, Lance, as you're talking about that, one of the things that comes to my mind is something that makes me so sad when people who are awake talk about people who aren't awake and how unhelpful that is. Because if let's think about we want everybody to, it's oneness. It's all of us together. And so when we separate ourselves out like that, you know, awake people versus not awake, and we have feelings or of, you know, feel upset with them or frustrated even, we need to understand that the awakening happens for everybody in their own time, and to have compassion and to understand that they are not in control, they're not sovereign with their mind.
That's right.
And to not, you know, we don't need that great divide.
Right, right, absolutely. In fact, we don't need any divisions, really. If we could just be the unified field that exists or that it just is, that would be a lot more empowering than the divisions, the false divisions, which we're talking about now.
Yes, and one of the things that we need to remember is that when people start awakening, especially if they awaken over the next 6 months as this eclipse energy of the purging of the priesthood happens, we have to understand that they will be undergoing a trauma reaction as these things occur, because it's very likely that a greater understanding of the depth of the nature of human trafficking and the satanic ritual abuse of children will come to light.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, I think it was last time we talked, Lance, when the three of us were on, we talked about human trafficking and if people were ready to hear it. And I think I said, no, they weren't ready. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Yes, and you've done a lot of work in that area.
I have, but
I mean, not doing it. You're not trafficking, but in helping people. But
as much as I could to counter that. But I think that that's the end of the rabbit hole, and I think that people are going to start to be able to take on this issue psychologically, their psyches, will begin to be able to handle it, because this energetic with the eclipse primes the psyche to basically be able to take on that sort of darkness. It is the darkest subject. It mm-hmm. is when you scratch the surface of, it used to be, I was saying, a decade ago you could scratch the surface of anything and you, Donald Rumsfeld would pop up.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can scratch the surface of any foundation. Politician.
Mm-hmm.
And if you scratch deep enough, you're going to find support that came from countries or groups profiting from human trafficking, labor, and sex trafficking.
Yep.
Human trafficking is the number two most lucrative business in the world, second only to weapons trafficking. It's bigger than drug trafficking because the victim or the product in their mind is reusable. It's not a finite resource. And so the wealth that is being made, the things that are being done with nations geopolitically with money that comes from this, all of this is going to begin to come out, I do believe, because that's the end of the rabbit hole. I don't, you know, beyond with the exopolitical realm, which who knows about that rabbit hole?
Oh, boy, yeah. Well, then there's human trafficking in those realms.
Indeed, indeed.
So, I mean,
that'd be another whole black hole, I think.
Yes, I'm not sure people are ready for that, although, you know, in the galactic history material that we talked about that for quite a long time. And so sooner or later, you know, the whole issue of what's been going on at the exopolitical level, and that's been known by various the people at the top of the chain here that are the managers, that all has to come out. And that's such a deep rabbit hole that that may be one of the reasons why it hasn't happened yet, because once you pull that thread in one direction, all of it unravels, and you get to see the whole picture, and it takes a lot of objectivity and distancing and neutrality to be able to handle that and not be wigged out, so to speak.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I think on the whole human trafficking and pedophilia thing, it's part of the ingrained part of the elite system that nobody wants to ever talk about and nobody wants to hear about. It was just today I was watching a video about it and did a search on some of this human trafficking, and whenever you search on pedophilia, it immediately goes, oh, it's a psychological disorder. That's nice. Then why are the elites doing it?
Right.
Been doing it for decades and years and years and years, and nobody talks about it.
Right. It's at the top of the, the people.
It is the top of the food chain. And,
absolutely.
You know, nobody wants to hear it.
Absolutely. There was a recent scandal about Bill Clinton going to that island, you know, of the billionaire that has,
yes.
And that's just one, that's the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
That's the rich guys, you know, version of it. You know, we're not even talking about the low-life version and the hundreds of thousands of people that just, you know, they may be sitting in an outdoor cafe sipping some kind of coffee in a foreign country, and then they start to fall asleep, and they're drugged, and they wake up in a bed on heroin. And so, you know, this just goes on all over the place, and it's huge. It's, as you said, it's enormous.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bedroom communities, well, they don't call them bedroom communities for nothing. So, you know, there are parents who need money. You know, as the money gets hoovered out of the system and the middle class becomes the lower class, then people get desperate and they start to think about things that the archontic realms love to incite, and that is, well, just sell your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sell them into slavery.
Yes.
Keep them a normal life and go to church and nobody will know.
Yes, you know, Lance, and that happens so much more often than people realize, you know, having worked in that field. I think that what will happen as the issue comes more to light is that it is activating the sacred masculine.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
when men begin learning and they're educated about the issue mm-hmm. and what it is, and that women and children are being sold as slaves, used as slaves, it does something. And it kicks in some sort of instinct, and it re-empowers men, I believe, and makes them active, makes them want to do something. And just the shift of people, you know, not going to tolerate it, and as we uncover the depth of the level of how members of the government, how deeply involved in this they have been,
mm-hmm.
when all of this comes out, it's truly going to be a deep healing for the world.
Absolutely.
Because it's the final issue.
Absolutely. And it's coming full circle. And one of the things that I found to be very positive was when Mary Rodwell was on the show and she was talking about the new kids that have come in. And of course, we've known about the rainbow kids and the, you know, the new kids that are coming in with advanced skills for, you know, many decades now. But she says there's a whole new breed and she's coming out with a book on it. And she's talked to quite a few of these kids, and one of them was about 9 years old. I remember this part. And he was telling her about his life on another planet. And he was an advanced technical person who worked on, you know, something that was so far beyond our comprehension and so far beyond Star Trek that it was mind-boggling. And the kid was 9 years old, and she said, well, and Mary said, well, could you tell me what you did? And he said, you wouldn't understand it. And so we talked about the idea that all of these kids that have been coming in would never incarnate into a world that was going to destroy itself.
Mm-hmm.
It just wouldn't happen because they have awareness of where they've been and what they're going to do on this planet. And if they could see, and they can, before incarnating, that you know, the planet's going to destroy itself, humanity's going to be gone, they wouldn't incarnate, but they are. And I find that to be one of the most hopeful messages. And they all have skills that will come in handy in a world in which inventions are shared and everything is free property, and the monetary system isn't the main one. It's energy exchange and not money. And a beautiful world full of people that are just sharing and wonderful, and nobody will be lacking. So I found that to be very hopeful.
It is so very hopeful. I couldn't agree more. I feel like I see that too. And, you know, we're not talking about a long, long time from now.
Right.
3.5 years from now, things are going to look much, much different than they do. We've already had so much of the archonic problem addressed already just over the last year and a half. And you can witness everything that has happened and come to light, and just the rise of liberty and personal sovereignty and the just people coming together for that. I mean, Brexit, you know, look at France. There's so many examples. And so it's time for us to stop looking back and to stop feeling powerless in the present, because it's start now. Because those children, you know, when they are, you know, adults, there will be things in place, structures, systems that we've put in place. Everybody listening to this show knows that they're here for a purpose and what they're supposed to be doing. Do it. begin. Yes. Now is the time. If you have been waiting, it's call-up time to do this now, because we don't need to watch it fall. I say this all the time. We
yes.
don't need to do that. We need to build, and we need to build on what we have. We need to build on our strengths. You know, some of us have been new aging this for a very long time.
Right. Right.
Quiet now. Yeah.
Right. And then use your imagination and creativity to envision a world that nobody has thought up yet. You know, that's one of the things that I see as a difficulty for people when they're mass-fed all their information via texting and cell phones and television and movies and everything else. They're just being distracted from one thing to another, and the energy is dissipating, so they can't think for themselves. And imagination is so important, and that spark that kids have when, they see things that the adults say aren't there. You know, it's time for the adults to say, oh, good, that's wonderful. I what do you see? What are they doing? You know, and be supportive. Looking back is like looking at in the rearview mirror as you're driving past an accident with dead bodies. That's what this planet is like. It's an accident with dead bodies on it. And if you look in the rearview mirror, that's what you're going to see.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
But, I mean, there's also the beauty and everything else. But, a planet that is based upon consumption of everything for survival, that is, everything feeds off of something else. And to me, that isn't a natural world. Even though we call it nature, a natural world is one in which nothing has to eat anything else or feed off of anything else to survive.
Yes, and you know, speaking of, texting and everything on the phones and, you know, obsession with phones, that's the most ungrounding thing of all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it makes people feel connected, but they truly are not.
Right. Right, the plug's being pulled, and they're moving into a virtual world.
Yes, yes. So, I think everybody is kind of moving away from the phone. Another thing is, a simple thing, turn off the Wi-Fi at night when you go to bed.
Yeah.
If you're not doing that, try it. You might be surprised
right.
how much better you sleep.
Oh, my God, that's a good suggestion. I used to have Wi-Fi, and I had to turn it off at night, and then sometimes even the refrigerator would keep me awake, and so I'd pull the plug on everything. And Barbara Marciniak once channeled some information from the Pleiadians, and they advised that you unplug the microwave and the television set. So
I remember that. They said hold on to the microwaves. You might need them.
Well, we're being microwaved ourselves, so that's what antennas are for.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And this is why, when we get into the subjects about that with the AI, with the electronic warfare and all, that's
yeah.
when people start to kind of glaze over and like, well, we don't even know who's beyond the Illuminati with all this, and how would we even know about it and all. That's where I always say, this is handling and being handled, and it's happening
right.
at a higher level.
Right.
And if there's a plan in place.
Yes.
We are not heading for disaster. We are just beginning and just starting. And so I always try to talk about this because it gets so negative, and we're in a dark time. We're in an epic time in history, and it is not going to be easy over 2017. There's a lot of changes that are going to happen. But this is all designed for us to get to the other side.
Yep. Andrew, what do you think?
No, in listening to that and talking about turning off your Wi-Fi and everything like that, to me that's just another form of grounding. You're protecting yourself from that outside influence that we're not paying attention to right now.
Well, you guys, you know what? We're just about out of time, and that I can't believe that this went so fast.
How does this happen?
It was like the blink of an eye, and You know, we could talk for hours, and I said that on the last show, and I just love having you guys on the show, because
you're just such a treasure. Really, really
so,
great.
Thank you for coming back, and you're welcome back anytime, and if you have any websites that you want to mention or anything that you're doing, just this is the time to do it.
Go for it, Andrew.
I think at this point, you know, connect with us on Facebook when you get online, and it's to me, it's kind of a sacred place. You can come and read the Oracle report and share your thoughts and insights. It's a two-way street, and the Wise Owl community, as we like to call ourselves, really kind of step up and are helpful and share and talk about things. So. I welcome you there, but of course it all starts with oraclereport.com, where Laura every day spreads the Oracle Report, and there's just so much to learn, and it's been an amazing part of my life for the last 6 years. She's been doing it. She said she was doing it for 7. I started about 6 years with it, so.
Wow. Wonderful.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Check it out. Read what's in store for the day. I just basically go over what we can expect from the astrology, from the energetics, and try to create a little bit of an anchor there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I do every day. So thanks again, you guys, for coming back. And we will talk again in the near future and find out what's going on. And we can look back at this time and see, you know, how accurate we are.
Yes, well, thank you so much, Lance.
Lance.
All right. Thanks again. Good night, everybody.